Welcome back to another episode of Nationwide. I am Ashada Joseph, and we have a special episode for you today. Now, this is one that I've been looking forward to since season 2. We're here at the Kaitiff Skate Park in Wildy, and joining me today is Jonathan Jono Austin, founder of Jono Skate Shop, one of Barbados's lead skate brands and the driving force behind the local skate company. From starting his business at a young age to giving back and inspiring other youth, Jono is showing what passion and purpose can truly do. Jono, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Yeah, thank you, Ashada. It was great. It's great to be here, and I'm just happy to, you know, be invited to, you know, speak my story.
So let's get right into it. Now, you started your business during a tough time in your life when you were suffering with gastroparesis. How did the idea of starting your own skate company come about, you know, while you were suffering with this health challenge?
Well, with the gastroparesis, that really came about around when I was 10, 11 years old. What happened is, from the age of that 10, 11, I started to throw up every time I would eat.
Oh, wow.
And the doctors here in Barbados didn't really know what was going on. And I had to go overseas for treatment. I ended up losing a lot of weight. I was only 52 pounds at 11 years old. I went down to that rate. They had to put a tube in my nose to feed me, because if I'm not consuming anything, obviously I will perish.
Yes.
So they put a tube in my nose. The doctor still didn't know what was wrong, even over there overseas. But thankfully I got relocated to another hospital in Orlando. I was in Miami at first, and then I went to Orlando. And they did a test where they put pretty much probes in my stomach and in different areas. And we're testing to see what exactly was the issue. They then realized that my stomach did not have motility, meaning that it did not, when you eat, normally your stomach pushes food down. When I would eat, it doesn't work, meaning that when they put the monitors in my stomach, normally like a heart monitor will go up and down. Yeah. There is no motion. It's just flat with little to no motion. A little bit there, but most of the time it would just be like flat. So from there, they diagnosed it with the gastroparesis, which is paralysis of the stomach, no motion in there. That's why when they would eat, it would sit in the stomach and not push it down. It would just sit there and come back up. The tube in my nose, they cut a hole in my stomach. I put the tube in my stomach because the tube in my nose was temporary, but the stomach one was more permanent. So they implanted they did the procedure for that. I then went back home with a tube in my stomach and having to feed off of it for 18 hours a day.
Wow.
And trying to readjust to a new life of no longer being able to eat, but having to feed off and rely on a feeding tube to live. That's how I actually found skateboarding. I found skateboarding in the hospital. When I was in the hospital, I was on YouTube and I saw a skateboard video. And for some reason, it was really mesmerizing how somebody could jump on the board stick to their feet.
Yeah.
So when I left the hospital, I had told my mom and dad I want a skateboard. They weren't very happy about it, because as you could hear all that, I'm sure that you wouldn't want your child
on anything.
Everything already going on. It's not going to be, yeah, that's not very safe necessarily. But they got the skateboard, and what can you say to a child that's sick? When I got back home to Barbados, when I would feed off that tube for 18 hours a day, like I said, it was very hard for me mentally. It was hard for my family. But like I said, I couldn't eat. So when chicken bar come through the door, they said, I still feel hungry because the milk is going straight to my intestines. But normally when you eat and you're hungry, you get satisfied when your stomach is full. So that wasn't being satisfied. So I would still feel like when chicken bar come through the door, and my fam eating it up.
You wanted a piece.
Cheese or bread, man. So the way I coped with the illness was I grabbed onto anything that I could. And what I grabbed onto was skateboarding. I use it as a coping mechanism. Now that I'm older, I can see it like that. And through me just, that was my only hope. The only thing that I could control, because I couldn't control my stomach, I could only control the skateboard. And it made me feel free and be able to express myself. I would take that tube out for 18 hours a day. I would go outside and skateboard. So when people ask about the passion for the whole business and whatnot, it really comes with that 10-year-old boy that felt lost, confused, and just didn't really know what was going on. But the only thing he could have grabbed was a skateboard to give him some sort of clarity and peace.
Sounds like an escape for you.
Escape, yeah. It was an escape. Yeah.
So how are you doing today? Because I know when you were younger, you went through a lot. So how are you doing today?
Start your day with the Nation News ePaper. Enjoy the accessibility and new upgrades of the Nation News ePaper daily, whether on our mobile app or Nation News website. For added convenience, use our new audio read feature, which reads the newspaper aloud, or look in the archives for any publications you may have missed. Get your news, your time, your way with the Nation News ePaper and enjoy our new upgrades.
Yeah, so from there, after a year of feeding off the tube, they put a gastric pacemaker into my stomach. And thankfully, what that would do, it would send pulses to the stomach to actually help it work and contract. Pretty much electricity being sent to the stomach so that it actually moves. So normally they have a pacemaker for the heart, but this one was for the stomach. It worked, and they implanted it into my stomach, and they removed the tube. So I was very happy that I was able to not eat that chicken burn and that all that food that, yeah, that, you know, I was able to eat. I was very happy. And I continued to skateboard into my secondary school years. I went to the St. Michael's School and I still used it as a way to express myself, and it was still a freeing thing for me and a big passion. I was then doing marketing and management at BCC after I graduated from St. Michael's School, and I was pondering what I should do, you know, after I leave BCC, you know, what do I really want to do with my life? Because I know at that age, most young people are trying to figure out what they're called to do, what they want to do. At the same time, I was having pain with the same pacemaker site. I had to go back overseas to get it checked. And when I went back over there with my dad, I asked the doctor if he could turn off the pacemaker after the amount of time that I had it in to see if I would be able to operate without it. And thankfully, they turned it off after, I think, 5 years of me having it in my stomach. And they tested it to see if I could eat without it, and I was able to manage the condition without it. Yeah. So that was after that whole long period, and thankfully, they removed it. And now I have it in my bedroom. but yeah, that's when I decided really wanted to see about the business. And the same time I was removing the pacemaker was the time that I asked my dad, you know, I told him that I wanted to start a skate shop because I was doing marketing management at BCC, and I thought it would be a practical way for me to do something in that same realm of business. He told me to write a business plan. This is actually at the same time that I was getting the operation to take it out. And I wrote it. You know, it wasn't necessarily fully detailed, but it gave me an idea of what I wanted to do. I did my market research. There wasn't many skate shops on the island, so the need was definitely needed to be fulfilled. So it wasn't that I was just passionate about it, but it actually was a need there in the market. From there, I showed it to my dad, and it was a year of preparation and getting the business up. Yeah. Me getting the logo, the loans, the learning everything. Getting my suppliers, getting my website up and whatnot. Yeah.
I think it's so inspirational that even though you were faced with all these different challenges, you didn't let that stop you from pursuing your passion, you know, continuing to go forward until it exploded into a local phenomenon. So I think that that's very inspirational. Now, as someone who has turned your passion, into a business, and this is a business that has many eyes on it, do you think you have an edge over the others due to that passion or that competitive advantage?
Well, you know, anybody that's passionate about something to a 10th degree, like I said, where I came from, the passion is very, very strong. All the things I've been through. When you're passionate about something and you're authentic, right, and you stay true to who you are, it will give you an edge because you are not copying anybody. You're not copying anybody. You are really just doing what you are doing, and it's authentic. because you're staying true to who you are. And that really does give an edge, because people could try and copy you, but they will never know what really, they can never really do their own thing because they're just trying to copy you.
Or do it like you.
Correct. But I'm just being who I am, and it's working out. So I would say yes, being passionate about what you do and being authentic to who you are, anything that you do will give you the upper hand. But that's not really necessarily my main focus, but once you stay true to who you are, you will be fine, I believe.
Do you think it's a good thing to make money from your passion?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. I know that the reality is that not everybody can do that. So it's definitely a blessing for me for how everything worked out that I'm able to do it and make money off of it. Because not all the time you can make money off of your passion. Sometimes that's not, it might not be practical. That's just reality. But if you can, it makes it 10 times better because it feels like you're not working. It feels like if you are just doing what you're called to do. And that makes your life a lot more enjoyable. I would say if you can do that, you can make that reality, that is a blessing. That is a blessing. It's not always the case because some people, you have to pay the bills and that's what it is. But if you can do that, that's a blessing.
Yeah, also another thing is that when, you know, you're pursuing your passion, don't let the main focus be about the money. Let it be about doing what you love, because sometimes people, I find, lose focus on the goal, which is to pursue the passion. They're just looking at the money and you lose sight of what or where you started it in the first place.
Yeah, that's a definitely good point, for sure.
Now, skating over time has become a popular phenomenon in Barbados. I have seen countless skate groups, seen a lot of skaters at the different fun walks and events, and I've even seen you on the gram doing these complicated tricks and flips and turns. And I sometimes feel like I wish I could be able to do that, but I'm a beginner skater. You know, I fear that if I get from point A to point B, I will fall. How do you stay on top of your game and continue to strive while the iron is hot, while the business is booming and everything is going so good and there's a lot of work going on?
Well, I totally understand that you don't want to get hurt and everything. That's totally understandable because skating isn't for everybody. But how I would say that I keep on edge is really to stay humble. And why I say that is because when you come from a place of humility, you can continue to want to try to be better. When you get a level of success and you start to feel prideful and you feel like you're all of this and that and all of this, you start to think that you stop to do the work that you need to do. You start to try to improve because you feel that you're all that. But if you always stay grounded and humble, you will be in a place where you can always try to improve yourself. You will be in a place that you're willing to improve yourself constantly. You're never going to feel that you made it. You're grateful for what you have, but you're always trying to improve and reinvent yourself. For me, when I started the business, I didn't even have good communication skills, anything like that. I started it when I launched at 18. I didn't expect it to do so well. And all of a sudden, I was getting all these phone calls about people wanting the skateboard product and this and that. I'm a shy 18-year-old self that got no social skills. Cause it was like, shit, this is great, but I could barely talk properly. It was a grind period and I had to reinvent myself. I had to humble myself and say, well, you know, I have to improve. And I improved. I had become a businessman. I had to reinvent myself. I became a philanthropist. I started giving back to John O'Cares too. Where 5% of sales go towards kids with medical issues. So we donated to a girl that has scoliosis, a boy that has stage 2 liver disease. Sadly, he passed away. His name was Raphael, but I was grateful that I was able to help the family before he passed. I helped a mother that had 2 twin daughters that had cerebral palsy, epilepsy, and the congenital Zika virus on a monthly basis. Sometimes I can't help every month, but I really try to help. So I would say to keep the iron hot, I always have been reinventing myself. I always try to improve. That's why I keep striking.
Yeah, and I think that's an important lesson for a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs. You know, humility is key. And improving and persevering is also key in getting better as a business person. In your journey so far, what is one lesson that you've learned?
In my journey, just like in life, one thing I've learned is that you have to turn your pain and trauma into purpose and passion. That's what I say. That's on the back of my shirt right now. Because a lot of bad things happen in life and they can be very discouraging. A lot of times these things can take a hold of us and make us feel like if we're less, you know, and make us feel like we can't do it because whatever happened in your life, you know. But even if you get to that point, which everybody has been there, there's a point after a certain period of time where you have to decide that you are going to turn this pain and trauma that you experience in your life and turn it into purpose and passion. And that's how you turn that situation into something powerful, into something like a superpower. And when you do that, you light a flame in your heart that can't be extinguished.
I like that. Turn your challenges and your circumstances into purpose and passion. Yeah. I like that. I can use that as my motto for sure. Now, in a journey such as yours, you know, you would need an outside voice or a motivating factor. And that for you was your late grandmother. And you said the road that she laid for you is not smooth and you can't be mediocre. So how has she impacted you to push forward with the business?
Yeah, so my grandmother was definitely a crucial point in my journey. She passed away about, I think, you know, it's a year or two. But yeah, she was always there for me. And I'm grateful that I was able to have her in my life. I just think that it's important that we respect our elders, that especially the ones that, you know, put a lot of work in so that we can have a better life. And I used to go and speak to her a lot, especially as I got older and had my own vehicle. And I would visit her house, and I just remember the conversations that we would have. And I would be sitting on the bed and telling her about all the things I want to do with my business and all these things, and she would just get so excited. And the love and the belief you could feel when she would talk to me, and that made me feel like if I could do anything. And she would always tell me, wherever there's a will, there's a way. Wherever there's a will to succeed, a will to become the best version of yourself, a will to make something happen in your life that you want to happen, there is a way. And that will always stick with me forever. And I just grateful that to have her in my life. And every time that I feel discouraged, I always think about the times I had with her. And that gives me that extra boost in motivation to keep moving forward.
Oh, I love how you mentioned the interaction with your grandmother. I think that's something so special, that person's experience, being able to talk with your grandparents and, you know, get feedback from them, because they've been there before and they know what to do, what not to do, what path you should take, and giving you the best advice possible to go forward. So I thought that was very sweet. Now, you are someone who leans on religion, you know, whether to as a guide or to motivate others. How important is religion for you as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, so like I said, I grew up with my grandmother, and she definitely taught me the importance of prayer. So she would make sure that you say your prayers before you go to sleep and, you know, before you eat and everything like that. So I would definitely say that I grew up in a Christian household. When I was going through what I went through, I used to question, you know, why would God let this happen to me? Sometimes I even know we might think that, you know, why would God let those things happen to me in the past, you know? But when I look back, I remember a time that I was in the hospital bed. And this is before they found out if it was gastroparesis or not. And I was lying down there, and my dad was there. And I asked my dad, Daddy, you know, like, why is this happening to me? And it was just a silence that was very loud. As a parent, it was a hard time for him, and to see your child like that, how can you really answer that? And I said, maybe it's to make me stronger. He was like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I then said, but to do what, Daddy? And then I said, maybe it's so that I can help others. And then I asked him at the end, but how do we help others, Daddy? And it was a low silence. And when I look back at that conversation, I have no idea what had came over me to say those things. Mm-hmm. And for me to be in the position that I am now, where I am giving back to others, I could definitely say that God has allowed me through all everything that I've been through to give back to Jono Skate Shop. So that's why I always mention God, because there's no way that I could have done it, get out of the place that I was without God. So that's me. Yeah.
Now, you have received some awards and accolades, you know, for your work. You won the SBA's Community Impact Award and the Division of Youth Entrepreneurship Award. So how does it feel to be recognized for your business and for the community that you would have created?
I'm very grateful. to be recognized. And because, you know, when you're doing all of that, went out into the schools speaking, giving back. Although you're not doing it necessarily to be recognized, when you are recognized, it gives me the encouragement that I'm doing the right thing, you know? So, yeah, I was very grateful.
So speaking about going into the schools, I noticed that you do a lot of community work. And as you said earlier, that you go into the schools and you speak to students about finding their purpose. Why do this? Why motivate? Why encourage the students to find their purpose?
If I had a choice, the reality is that I would probably not want to do it. The truth is, I probably would not want to do it. My introverted self might not want to do it. You know, the version of me that wants to not really say much. Sometimes I don't even want to revisit the story all the time to tell it, because it's just a lot. But when you feel like you're called to do something, when I look back at my 10-year-old self, he would have wanted to hear the story. If he would have heard my story, you know, he would have kept going. So that's really what drives me to talk and speak about my story in the schools and to others, because my 10-year-old self that felt lost, hopeless, and wonder why God would let this happen to me would have needed it, and it would have helped him push forward.
Yeah, you never know, somebody who is listening to you might be going through the same thing, and hearing you speak, they would be like, well, okay, he went through this and he was able to do this, well, maybe I could do this as well. So speaking up definitely is important, because it touches, even if it doesn't show, it touches somebody out there that's listening to you. Now, you've come a long way from that 10-year-old in and out of hospital to where you are now. What advice do you have for other entrepreneurs?
Business is not an easy thing. That's what I'm learning. I'm still on my own entrepreneurial journey, so I'm no genius at all. But I know that it's not an easy thing. There's a lot of adversity that come at you externally. And sometimes even internally, you might doubt yourself if this is all worth it. But when you truly believe in the vision that you have for the business, and you see the impact that you're making, if I look back at the customers that, you know, they're happy when they get the product and the service, the kids that I skate with and they're cheering on, and the joy that they feel when I'm performing, Gemma Benjamin and her twin daughters that I help with cerebral palsy, that keeps you moving forward. If you have a vision that's big enough, it will keep you moving forward, because it's not an easy thing to have a business. You have to show it every day, and not every day the passion is there, not every day the motivation is there. But if you believe in what you're doing, that will keep you moving forward. That's my advice. I would say that, to make sure that you have a big vision that you believe in.
So what is next for you, Jono?
I want to just continue to do what I'm doing. I'm looking to always maximize my potential, and, you know, just continue to do what I'm doing, giving back to others, making a difference, going into the schools, continue to grow my business, and just enjoying the journey in the whole process of everything. I'm now becoming a gymnast, so I'll be flipping about the place too. Flipping and but yeah, I just want to improve myself in business and personal life, in my roller skating skills, my skateboard skills. I continue to give back to others and make a difference.
And I wish you all the best in your endeavors. I wish you all the best in your business and in whatever you do, community work, school work. I wish you all the best. And I hope that you keep going forward and doing the good work that you do.
It was nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you as well. And thank you for chatting with me today. It was a pleasure.
Yeah.
I could not wait for this episode. Honestly speaking, from since season 2, I was talking nonstop, but we have to get John on.
It went smoothly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm happy to be here.
And thank you for joining us. And to our viewers, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Nationwide. If you want to catch this episode and more, tune in to our website, our YouTube channel, and any platform where you listen to your audio podcasts. Until next time.